The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to the BS Report. Wednesday afternoon here on the West Coast, and we could not resist calling our buddy Jacko, diehard Yankee fan. We have not talked to him since the last time he appeared in this podcast. Since then, the Yankees have collapsed. I don't know if it's a semi-collapse or a full collapse, but there's been some collapsing. We're in a calm of work right now.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
Oh. Johnny!
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey now.
Do you smell that? It smells like a little bit like meat spoiling right now. Like when you leave meat outside too long. You smell that spoiling smell? That's the 2012 Red Sox.
Yeah, baby. There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Hang your hat on that. The spoiler rolls over.
Absolutely. I'll hang my hat. I need somewhere to hang my hat.
Absolutely. It's all you've
got.
Might
as well hang it here.
I would do the same thing in your shoes. Absolutely. Mm. More power to you.
Walk us. We haven't talked to you really in the last, 10 days or so. Walk us through. I don't want to call it a collapse, but
you can call it a collapse.
Oh, okay. Let's call it a collapse.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's hear your thoughts on the collapse.
Well, it's troubling, and I blame you because, or maybe myself, I guess, because last time we did a podcast and I was, the cock of the walk and prancing around and saying how I wasn't afraid of anybody in the American League Central and I wasn't afraid of anybody in the American League. And I, of all people, should know, with all the jinxes and reverse jinxes and everything else, that I should, of all people, should know that you never count your chickens before they're hatched and take anything for granted, and I did that. So I apologize to Yankees Nation, if such a thing. Oh, Yankees Universe, actually. I apologize to the Yankees Universe that it's my fault. I shouldn't have done that. And although their collapse really has dates back to the All-Star break, because I think now they're like 27 and 29 since the All-Star break, so... It's been a problem.
I have a newsflash for you. Yankee Nation does not accept your apology.
No, with good reason. Totally. Although, since they have collapsed since the All-Star break, and I think that podcast was in August, I can't take full responsibility. But
I have all the data, actually, for you.
Oh, you do? All right.
Or data. I have the data, too. I have the data, and I have the data.
Awesome. Either one.
We taped the podcast on August 28th, a Tuesday.
August 28th, really?
Yeah.
Seems like it was longer ago. That's 15 days ago.
It was August 28th.
All right.
The next day, they lost in Toronto.
Yeah.
They hosted the Orioles at home. They lost. They lost 2 of 3 to the Orioles.
Yeah.
They lost 2 of 3 to Tampa.
Oof.
They split the Orioles series, and now they've lost to the Red Sox. They have won exactly 4 games since the day we posted that podcast.
And lost how many?
And they have lost
4 and 8.
You're 4 and 8.
4 and 8.
Since the day after that podcast, yeah.
But they've been hideous since before that time, though, so I can't take full culpability here.
They've really been
pathetic since the All-Star break.
What's it like when your most reliable starter is Hideki Kuroda?
It's true. Well, that's the thing that really has not been written about enough, I don't think, is that they have Sabathia, the big horse, then they're supposed to ride him, and he's been terrible. He's been brutal. I mean, I read on Twitter, I think it was John Heyman from CBS, so there's reports that he's hurt, but if you're hurt, then don't pitch. If he's pitching, I don't want to hear excuses about, oh, he's really secretly hurt. The Red Sox always try to pull that. Like when Lester has it down here, they're like, I think he's nursing a secret injury. If you're out there pitching, well, whatever. If you're out there pitching, you're not hurt. So I don't want to hear excuses. When you're supposed to be the man, you have a big contract, you're the ace, you're supposed to be our Verlander, our Strasburg. You got to carry the team when it's in the doldrums. And he hasn't lived up to that. I mean, and I'm not going to make excuses about injuries, but, Pettit was a big part of their rotation after Pineda got hurt in spring training, or showed up hurt in spring training, so that, Pettit got the line drive off the shin, and he's been out for months now. That hurt their rotation, because now you have David Phelps on a regular basis. in the rotation who's not helping anybody. So their pitching has been, they've had the same problem for 10 years, basically, even though they won a World Series 3 years ago. They can't get a clutch hit, and they don't have pitching when it counts. It's been a continuing problem. So, I mean, I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs at this point. Whether they do or not, I don't think they're going on a deep run. So it's all, you know, really moot. I'm really disgusted and troubled and every other word you can think of.
It could be worse. You could be a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, that's what I have to hang my hat on, at least. We're doing a lot of hat hanging today. It's my phrase of the day, apparently. At least I'm happy with that. Like, I know the Red Sox aren't going to win the World Series, and they're a complete implosion. So that makes me happy, but not as happy as it would if the Yankees were coasting into the playoffs. And, you know, that would make me much happier, clearly. But, yeah, I'm at least I can console myself with the fact that the Red Sox are much, 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 much worse.
Could have thrown in about 9 more muches.
Yes.
Did it make you happy when Bobby V left out Clay Buchholz for 121 pitches the other night?
I did.
And thanks, Bobby V.
I enjoyed driving home from work and listening to the replay of the Bobby V threatening to punch Glenn Ordway in the mouth interview, which just was so crazy to listen to. You can't make up how crazy it was.
Yeah, I broke a lifelong rule never to listen to WEI again and listen to that interview. And I actually thought Bobby V sounded a little bit deranged.
He sounded completely deranged. I'm really worried about Bobby V at this point. I mean, I hope there's somebody like watching him and keeping an eye on him, because this season it couldn't have gone more horribly. I mean, I'm really worried about the guy's health. Like, what's going to happen?
Remember in Castaway when Tom Hanks made friends with the volleyball? And then he started really, really having long conversations with the volleyball, and then he got mad. He threw the volleyball, and the volleyball almost floated away, and he was crying, and he found it. He brought it back. That's what Bobby V sounded like in that interview.
Yeah. Well,
he sounded like a crazy person who was talking to a volleyball.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and it's just his mannerisms or his inflections in his voice. When he said, "I want to punch you," and he did that weird ha-ha like a complete insane person, which just was wildly out of context and made no sense. Oh my God, it was riveting driving home listening to it.
He sounded like, you would have thought he was drunk, except he wasn't slurring his words.
Yeah.
It was like a drunk person who wasn't slurring words.
Yeah.
Or somebody who had just had a concussion that hadn't been diagnosed yet. It was just rambling and weird.
Once he gets fired or resigns or is mercifully put down or whatever, I cannot wait for his either tell-all book or tell-all interview with, you know, Carl Ravitch on Baseball Tonight, where he just unburdens himself and throws everyone in the Red Sox organization under the bus and finally tells the truth. That's the one thing I have to look forward to in the postseason.
I'm sure they're going to scapegoat him, and they already tried a little bit in the Sports Illustrated piece that Tom Verducci wrote. I like Tom Verducci, but I'm still waiting for somebody to talk to all three of these owners in a piece and then not skew the piece against whoever the three owners have decided to blame this time around.
Right, whoever they're going to point their finger at, right.
It's pretty interesting that that really the finger was not pointed toward the three owners at all.
No.
Especially when you think, like, Tom Werner already did this in San Diego, right? Everybody in San Diego hates Tom Werner.
Oh, but I didn't realize that.
He did the fire sale thing on the Padres. And then, Lucchino left, I think, Baltimore on bad terms, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then John Henry basically
flipped
Florida into the Red Sox an asset. And now it kind of seems like he's decided the Liverpool asset is a more interesting asset than the Red Sox, maybe.
Well, it has been pointed out that if you were going to put the Red Sox up for sale, a good time to do it is after you get rid of $250 million in future unfunded liability, or funded liabilities for the team, you know?
I have a friend who knows things. Mm. And this friend told me 2 weeks ago that the Red Sox were going to get sold this winter.
Wow. See, there you go.
But I wouldn't report that. I'm just saying, like,
just the it's the word on the street. People that know
this person laid out the case for the parallels between how they kind of cut costs with Liverpool and then they cut a ton of costs with the Red Sox. The fact that the Red Sox owners are in a no-win situation now. They won their two World Series. They've kind of, you know, people in Boston, I think locally, are onto them at this point.
They're
taking that franchise as far as they go. And then the other thing is, look at what Tom what John Henry does for a living.
Yeah, like, that's what he does, right?
He takes declining assets and buys them when he thinks they're going to become better assets, and then he flips them. I think that's basically the spirit of his job, right?
Well, one thing I learned recently that I read or saw somewhere is that he's on Twitter, and he follows like 10 or 12 people on Twitter, and all of them are related to Liverpool soccer.
Everybody says in Boston that he is all in on that Liverpool team and has lost interest in the Red Sox.
And I've seen a million pictures of his new wife over in London, you know, wearing like opera gloves at the soccer match, and, you know, trying to rival Kate Middleton for, you know, being the English Rose or whatever. So maybe that's what she's into. And he's like, hey, my wife's into the soccer, not the baseball. I won 2 World Series. Let me get the hell out of here while I can.
The part that doesn't make sense then is why he didn't spend money on the transfer deadline with Liverpool and instead went the other way. That's the only part I can't figure out. Because then,
yeah, he'd want to build up a good team, presumably, in Liverpool.
Yeah, if you were looking at it and you're like, oh, they shed $250 million here and then they added $100 million here, it's pretty clear what's going on. I mean, the only thing I could think is maybe he wanted to throw people – maybe he's throwing people off the scent.
Yeah, it looks too blatant that way, I suppose.
Yeah.
And everybody's been bitching for 2 years that he's been too focused – and Boston has been bitching that he's been too focused on soccer and Liverpool. So maybe he didn't want to be that blatant about it.
It's
maybe Charles Dolan can buy the Red Sox this time. He was the second bidder last time.
Isn't he dead?
Is he?
I don't know. I'll take him alive or dead, Johnny.
Really? Maybe James Dolan can do it.
Let me tell you something. James Dolan would not do well in Boston.
Frank McCourt's got some walking around money now.
Frank McCourt and James Dolan would be the nadir for Red Sox fans. And we were owned, for years and years by a trust.
Exactly.
Which is never good. But yeah, I have a feeling that when you think about the timing of the Dodgers sale from a few months ago and what they got, how much more money they got than anyone expected.
Right.
And then you think about the Red Sox have more assets than the Dodgers did basically. Their brand, they have a similar brand. I would even say maybe their brand's a little bit bigger. The park and the surrounding area around the park is actually a much better situation than Dodger Stadium, which is basically in the middle of nowhere and it's a traffic quagmire. And then they have their network. The Dodgers have to sell their rights unless they start their own network. They're going to get a crap load of money for it, but ultimately they don't own anything.
Right.
The Red Sox own their own network, which, you know, they've put terrible programming on, but they still own it.
Yeah, they have NESN and they own the Boston Globes. They have their own propaganda arm, so it's pretty good. You can walk right in.
They own Al Jazeera. So, I mean, could they get $2.5 billion for everything? I don't know.
Probably, yeah. I mean, if you're the owner of any, you know, big franchise, be it the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Cubs just sold recently, I guess, so they probably wouldn't be on the market again. But you have to take a good long look at what the Dodgers got and give things a good long hard look, you know.
And obviously, the Dodgers didn't feel like they overpaid because they just shelled out all that money for Adrian Gonzalez's salami bat. I actually thought he was going to hit for them, but it hasn't happened.
I know, he's hitting 242 since the trade, and Beckett's what, like 1-2 or 1-3?
Yeah, there's been a lot of murmuring out here, too, about those guys talking about their Red Sox experience. It sounds like Gonzalez, it's almost like he's got post-stress traumatic whatever.
PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
I don't think he was prepared for what it was going to be like to be on a really bad Boston team.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any way to prepare for it. You almost have to be built like Johnny Damon or Manny Ramirez and just be a lunatic.
He's just sitting in the locker room hugging himself, like rocking back and forth, muttering.
Like Private Pile. Yeah.
Not good.
No, I mean, I really think he was a little bit traumatized by the whole thing. And then I keep hearing that those guys have been, you know, telling people like how bad the Bobby V experience was. And just like everybody liked Francona. I know they quit on him last year, but there were other reasons that team kind of self-combusted. And I, you know, maybe they had tuned him out. I don't think they ever stopped liking him as a human being.
No.
But I think they genuinely disliked Bobby V and still do.
That's fantastic.
I think there's genuine animosity toward him.
That's so great. That's all I have. That's all I have to make. make me happy now in this Yankees collapse. So good.
So the, I mean, I'm sure you watch those four Orioles games.
On and off, to the extent that I could take it, yes. I didn't see the one they won 13-3, unfortunately, but I was out and about. But I did see snippets of the other games, yes.
Sounds like you've checked out like the Yankees have.
I pretty much have. It's been really, like, really troubling, a downward spiral. I was all fired. You know, they had a 10-game lead. I'm already making postseason plans. I'm looking forward to October. This collapse just came out of left field and just completely it's blindsided me. And, you know, I put it on Twitter and people thought it was troll bait or reverse jinx. But, you know, the Orioles have good fans. Peter Angelos is a horrific owner who's murdered that franchise for 15 years. So, I mean, I do find it interesting that now, you know, when the Yankees were down there, Camden Yards was filled with people in orange, white, and black when for years they were all dressed as Yankee and Red Sox fans. Tickets were very available. But, that's a good baseball town with a good history, and, you know, they've been bad for 15 years. I used to hate them in the 90s when they were a Yankees rival, but it's kind of like a sick puppy, and now it's grown into a full dog that's happy. I can't really kick them now and be angry about it. They're a good young team. I always liked Showalter because you remember when we were in college and the Yankees were pathetic, the Stump Merrill years, and Showalter came in, and he turned them around and changed the face of the franchise, and they were 81 and 81 in 92, and I was popping champagne. So I always liked Showalter. I never wanted him to get fired when he did, and although I can't complain about Torrey's success, obviously, but I like Showalter, so I can't really hate on the Orioles.
I said this.
We had a good experience there at Camden Yards when it first opened, and you and I went there, and the guy tried to sell us Brady 90210 T-shirts in the parking lot.
I got to say, it's one of my big regrets in life that I didn't buy it.
So, me too. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I should have bought a Brady 90210 T-shirt.
That goes for $100 now on eBay.
Absolutely. I'm so
as long
bummed
as it's
out.
Not we ripped up.
Huge mistake by us.
That was the same game that we saw an inside the park home run where the guy who scored got hit in the balls by the throw from the outfield.
Mark McLemore
was lying on the ground like semi-conscious for 5 solid minutes.
That's right.
It was also, I think, the hottest sporting event I've ever attended.
People literally were being carried out on stretchers by paramedics with like heat stroke and heat exhaustion.
It was 140 degrees and didn't stop Joe House from putting down like 15 kielbasas.
That's right.
He was claiming he was sweating out the calories, which made it good as we sat in the seats. But so yeah, Thursday night was a rough one for you because that was the roughest Yankee loss of the year, right? The 3 Mark Reynolds homers, the comeback to the comeback.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the Democrats are having their final day of the convention.
True.
What was the O'Connell House like that day?
Well, there wasn't a lot of options on the old television. Believe me, it was on Discovery Channel or the History Channel because there was. There was no watching the Yankees, and there was no watching any of the, you know, regular channels. Yeah. So it might have been an early bedtime. Might have been an early bedtime for Johnny O that night.
A couple extra shots of whiskey, and then maybe turn right in?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I couldn't bring myself to watch the Yankees. Because I'm an idiot, I did look at my Twitter feed every so often, and they were down big, and then they tied it up, and Ichiro, I guess, hit the 3-run homer, and then I started watching it again, only to watch them lose. So that added to my consternation.
How was your Ichiro? What's it like to watch Ichiro on a daily basis?
Well, I was excited by it at first, but I mean, you know, flashes of his former self, but I mean, not, you know, a few too many ground outs for my taste.
Tepid reviews from Jack O.
He's good in the field, you know, it's exciting, but you know, it's kind of Willie Mays playing for the Mets era, basically. So,
you're kind of tired
behind him.
You're tired of seeing him chop it to the left side and get
pretty
thrown
much,
out by a foot?
Pretty much.
It's enough. Gotten old?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
Who's?
Yeah, I'm just really, except for Jeter. I mean, Jeter is just so good. It's scary, and let's hope that that's all. It's just that he's scary good and had a resurgence, because that will really finish me if anything ever came out about that, but. Yeah. I mean, the guy's having an amazing year. He leads the league in hits. He's hitting .320, big hits, clutch hits. I mean, you can't say enough. I mean, he's up there with, you know, Ruth, Gehrig, Mantle, DiMaggio. He's an iconic Yankee, and 10 years from now, we're gonna consider ourselves privileged to have watched him play. No two ways about it. He's my scrappy Binky, believe me.
I will say this in defense of the Jeter season that has raised some eyebrows.
Yes.
From a homer standpoint, nothing's changed.
Right.
He's usually, when Jeter was going at his best, he was in the 18 to 22 range, and he has, I'm looking right now, he's got 15 now. All right, so that's fair.
Yeah.
On base is 370. I mean, in his prime, he was in the, he was always in the 390 to 410 range.
Yeah, so he's still a little behind the times there.
And then the slugging is 449. You know, in 09, he slugged 465. In 06, he slugged 483. In 04, he slugged 471. He's been really hot since the All-Star break. I mean, I know his, like, his OPS is almost like at a 1,000 since the All-Star break, but this is a kind of season, like, anybody who's been playing fantasy for the last 30 years, you know, like, really good players always have that one last good statistical season.
Yeah.
Usually it was always around, like, age 37, 38, and then that was it. Then it would go off a cliff. And then the whole PED era happened. And that last good season suddenly lasted for four seasons.
Exactly.
It screwed everything up. And also, the last good season was much better than any other season the guy ever had, which was obviously another red flag. I think the season's totally defensible. You know, especially like you think maybe that Minka Kelly relationship was a little debilitating. You know?
Think she was Memo from The Natural?
I'm throwing it out there.
Wow.
Maybe it was debilitating for him.
Could be.
Maybe
he's
a free man
now. And handing out gift baskets and such. So.
Yeah. Well, or maybe it's a thing where, you know, like you break up with your girlfriend, you get in better shape.
Yeah.
Kind of go into FU mode. You want to prove that maybe she said something. They had a fight and she said something, you know, did the old, well, what do I care? You're washed up now anyway, and stormed off. And he's like, oh, I'm not washed up. I'll show her. Like there, maybe she was involved.
She was like, your B-war leaves a lot to be desired.
Your B-I-P is low for a reason. Yeah, something might happen.
He's like, I'll show you.
I'll show you my B-I-P. You just watch for my war. My war is going to go way up. I'll show you.
See if you can get that with Wilmer Valderrama or whoever she's with now.
I think she dumped him. She's dating somebody else famous. Hold on. I'm going to Google this.
I
this will be
actually
exciting.
Know this. It's like Chris Evans or Chris somebody. I don't even know who he is. But
it can't be Chris Evans.
It's
he's
Chris
from Boston.
Somebody.
It is Chris Evans. He's
I don't
a
know
Boston
what Chris
kid.
Evans is in, but I read it somewhere.
He's in the Avengers, or he's Captain America.
Oh, he was?
And he was in the terrible Anna Faris movie, What's My Number? That's secretly awesome.
Oh, really?
You watch that? Yeah, it's like a really solid bad cable movie. I recommend it.
I'll check it out.
Last year's bad watchable cable movie was that Drew Barrymore, Justin Long movie where they dated cross country.
Yeah.
It was kind of secretly watchable. Yeah, it wasn't bad. And this one is also kind of secretly watchable. I would have watched it by myself, but...
Well, I
when
read
you're throwing
that,
bones to the wife, I think,
apparently Minka had a bad breakup with Captain America. I think she broke up with him when Jeter got interested, and she dropped him like a hot potato. And so he was a little wary of when she started calling and texting and Facebook messaging him again or whatever, but he decided to go back in the water, as it were. So
I'm Googling him because I actually think he might be a hardcore masshole.
Oh, that would be hurtful.
Oh, not hardcore. He's raised in Sudbury. Okay. So he's a he's
got to be a Red Sox fan, though, right?
Upper class. Yeah, he went to Lincoln Sudbury High. So middle upper class Massachusetts kid. But that has to be a Red Sox fan.
Wow.
Can a Red Sox fan date Minka Kelly? What's the ruling on that?
Oh, I think I think that's a coup for him. That's a feather in his cap. Take that, Jeter.
You don't have the Jeter slap his seconds, though?
Well, but...
Take that, Jeter.
It would be great if he was from like Roxbury or Dorchester or something.
Yeah, then I'd feel like it was legitimate.
If he was every character in the town, that would be awesome.
Like he's Jeremy Renner in the town.
That would be great.
Where do you stand on the town?
I liked it. I wish they'd blown up Fenway, but I liked the rest of it.
Oh, Johnny.
I think it was somewhat implausible. Like, you know, they have this wild manhunt for this bank robber, and he's able to escape just by wearing a T uniform.
Yeah.
Presumably they would have known that his father drove a T for years. Maybe they should be on the lookout for somebody in that uniform. Since he
dressed
as a cop and a paramedic.
Yeah, he had all these uniforms. He was like Val Kilmer in The Saint, crossed with a townie bank robber.
Yeah, exactly.
I really enjoyed it in the theater. I thought it was a great Boston movie, and it's been surprisingly rewatchable on cable.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times.
You could jump in at any point, and you'd be like, oh, here's the scene where they go and inexplicably beat up the other two guys in the apartment. Or here's the scene, oh, they're going to rob a bank this time. This will be fun.
I liked it because it was in Charlestown, and I used to live there, and I enjoyed seeing places where we used to, like, walk by. Or I wish the Store 24 was involved and the And We Thank You guy, but I enjoy that part of it.
They filmed in Old Sully's, which I was just... couldn't have been more titillated by. Whole scene in Old Sully's. Old Sully's, basically, we weren't allowed to go there.
Really?
We had to have actually, like, yeah, I never took you to Old Sully's.
No, you took me to someplace Sully's, but that was the New
no,
Sully's.
No, I took you, New Sully's. New oh, Sully's okay. was friendly to the outsiders. Old Sully's was, you had to grow up in Charlestown, basically.
Oh, that's just a local place.
It was super local.
Yeah.
It was not a good idea for us to go there. Yeah, no, it was that. It makes me think I missed Charlestown. We had some good times in Charlestown, Johnny.
Absolutely.
So we stumbled down a couple of hills.
Totally.
Yeah. Anyway, I like that movie, and if Chris Evans is doing the Jeremy Renner type of Massachusetts, then I fully support this Micah Kelly thing. if this is all leading to him running into Jeter at a party and maybe getting a fist fight and going all Massachusetts on him, I'm all for it.
You know, what would be the perfect revenge then would be for. Jeter to date Bridget Moynihan.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Oh, Johnny. Oh, you know, she'd probably be up for it.
Totally be up for it.
Brady probably
doesn't care, though, but, you know.
You know who would stop that? My man Donnie Wahlberg. He wouldn't allow that.
No, he'd step
He's
in.
On the set of Blue Bloods. He'd sabotage it somehow.
All right.
That's the greatest thing on television for the last 2 years has been ultimate diehard Boston sports fan Donnie Wahlberg having to appear in scenes with Bridget Moynihan as a sister.
That's fantastic. I did not know that.
And
Tom Selleck's in that too, right?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Who has darker hair than Donnie Wahlberg. They're using like entire vats of shoe polish for his hair and his mustache. It's pretty fantastic.
The ageless Tom Selleck.
So what is your prediction for, let's look at the standings here. So you are in a dead heat. We are taping this on a Wednesday, September 12th. A dead heat with the Baltimore Orioles. Two games ahead of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right.
You're 16 ahead of the Red Sox, so congratulations.
Yeah, I think that's safe, yeah.
You have a pretty sizable lead over the Tigers, 5 games.
That's for the wild card?
Trailing the Oakland A's by 2.
Unbelievable.
Really, really unbelievable.
Wow.
I don't get this Oakland A's thing at all. It's like Moneyball was like dead and buried.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's back.
It's got a hand up through the ground now.
I also thought that the Cespedes signing was going to be like one of the all-time bad signings. You know, like like along the lines of Hideki Arabu or something.
Wow, yeah.
Just like a complete catastrophe from day one. He's been pretty good. But
Josh Reddick's been good for them, right? Got 20-something home runs.
Yeah, he cooled off big time second
like
half.
Like 200, though, I think, since the All-Star break. But
he had the old regression.
They lost Bartolo Colon, and it didn't bother them in the slightest.
No. If anything, it was probably a distraction that they eliminated from the rest of the team because of all the PEDs in his locker.
Probably.
People were worried about calling their agents and lawyers about being accomplices. Am I an accomplice if I have the locker next to his?
Stubbing their toe on a syringe or something. Yeah, it's problematic.
So it really sounds like you locked out. I'm disappointed. I thought you'd be more angry.
There was a collapse in 2004 that was much, much more calamitous to me than that. So
yes.
Basically, it's like if you've lived through that horror, then you're basically this one. I mean, I know it's a collapse and a choke and yada, yada, all true, but it's not a collapse and a choke to your biggest rival who hasn't won a World Series in 86 years, which I'll never, ever live down. So that was a collapse that really, like, you know, ruined me almost. So I made it through that, and, you know, now there's this collapse, but I can't compare to that one. If it was the Red Sox, I'd be out on a ledge right now or, like, living in a lean-to in the woods or something, howling at the moon. But, you know, the Orioles and the Rays and, you know, this Yankees team is not that great. And built for a long run, so you know, it's not even a matter of being panicked. It's the levels of grief. I'm at acceptance. So I've accepted it. And if they pleasantly surprise me with a comeback and they move on, we'll pretend this conversation never happened. But for now, it's like, whatever.
Does it sting a little that they weren't able to unload A-Rod's contract to the Dodgers?
It stings a lot. I hope the phone still works in the offseason. Hey, if you're taking on dead weight, we've got some for you.
Hey, Magic. Ever heard of a guy named Alex Rodriguez?
Exactly. He's a star. You must have heard of him.
He's still good.
Puts people
you should
in the
take
seats.
Him.
He loves Hollywood. He loves L.A.
He's not
got
making that much.
Got friends in the entertainment community.
Yeah.
He's a perfect L.A. guy.
Actually, A-Rod would be a perfect Dodger.
Totally.
He would be good. It'd be an interesting move for them.
Maybe either Miami, where he's from, to go back to the Marlins, or he'd be such a good L.A. guy. His girlfriend, you know, wrestling, she's probably trying to break into the movies or something, right?
Which girlfriend now?
Wasn't he date Tori Wilson or somebody? Is she like a wrestler?
He dates Tori Wilson?
I think so.
The WWE diva?
I'm pretty sure. You're in the center of, like, the Hollywood community, and I have to inform you of, like, who Minka Kelly's dating. And I'm here in Connecticut. I couldn't be farther away from the entertainment capital of the world, and I'm informing you of these things.
Very fair points. I in my defense, I did spend a month in a foreign country. I missed a lot of stuff.
That's a good point.
Missed a lot of things.
That explains your Seahawks in the Super Bowl pick, too, I guess.
I don't think I'm not going to be using that excuse this week, John, in the week 2 column.
You know, I read your whole football preview thing, and you picked the Seahawks, and you're in love with Wilson and everything, but never once did you mention that Pete Carroll was their coach, someone you wrote an entire article comparing him to Fredo from The Godfather.
This is a really good point.
I mean, did you forget about that?
Well, I mean, he did win a couple national titles at USC.
True, college, but not in the
I was thinking maybe
NFL record
bloomer.
Is a little spotty.
Think how many Doc Rivers columns I wrote when Doc finally turned it around.
That's a good point.
I thought maybe Pete had a Doc Rivers turnaround.
Nice. All right. I'll give you that.
It's a very fair point. Listen, it's not my proudest moment. We're going to learn from it. We're going to make some positives. Yeah, I should have taken the Niners. I'm kicking myself. It was between those two.
I've just figured you'd pick the Patriots for the 15th straight year. That's what America was expecting, frankly.
Well, I couldn't do that because...
You didn't want to jinx them?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
I took Gronkowski in the first round of my fantasy league.
Oh, I did too. I have him in both leagues.
Yeah, I'm excited for him.
And I bought my son a Gronk jersey.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really kind of fits his personality, too. He's
totally
a little rough
does.
And tumble. And he's missing a tooth. He's got a crew cut. He's missing a tooth. He's wearing a Gronk jersey. It's good.
Nice.
It's good. He already has more muscle than I do. any last things we have to cover? I don't think there is.
No, that about covers it. You can call me in
TV?
A couple weeks. What's that?
Any TV?
No. I did get 4 supportive tweets that 4 other people in America watch Hell on Wheels, so that made me feel good. It's not just me and Common, it's 4 other people. It's me, my wife, Common, and 4 people on Twitter.
But you're not watching Homeland.
I've not caught up with that yet, no. I'm behind, you know, it seems like such a project when first of all, I have 2 young kids, so that keeps me occupied. And then to sit down and, like, catch up on a past season with DVDs, the winter's coming, that's more of like a winter thing. I got to enjoy the nice outdoors while we have it. My mother-in-law for my birthday bought me season 1 of Boardwalk Empire, which is right up my alley. So I do have that to watch. But Homeland is on my list, and I see the commercials for it, and I always say, "Oh yeah, Bill raves about that." So my wife's intrigued. We'll get into that.
Well, when you said winter's coming, you also could have been talking about the 2012 New York Yankees.
Yes, winter's coming early. Yeah.
Jacko, as always, a pleasure.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
You too, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
So I get to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.